Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, if you'll find that. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read the first four verses. Today, of course, is the holiday weekend of Labor Day. And thinking of laboring, working, I wanted to read from Hebrews chapter 2. You see, when you study the book of Hebrews, I think the overriding theme or thought is that Christ is better than. Christ is better than the prophets, all the other prophets. Christ is better than the priests. Christ is just better than all of them. The book of Hebrews, it's kind of the Jewish Christian book, you might say. That's why we get the term the book of Hebrews. We find that Christ is better than all things, better than the angels, better than the prophets, better than the priests. Just Christ is better than. Then in chapter 2, narrowing it down, I can't preach the whole book of Hebrews today, but thinking about labor, thinking about work, in chapter 2, the first four verses, Paul is throwing up a warning signal, a danger ahead sign. Thinking about labor and working, God did not save us to sit. God saved us to serve. Now, I've heard messages in which preachers said, that's not true. That's not what God saved us for. He saved us because He loved us. We're saved by the grace of God. And a number of other statements made after that thought of saved not to sit to serve. And all those things I heard was true. And then I thought to myself, now how do you show your faith? How do you know that people are saved? It's when they serve. That's really what James was talking about, wasn't it? When he said back there in James chapter 2, verse 18, show me your faith by, without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. You see, we are saved to serve the Lord. Yes, we're saved by grace. Yes, we're saved through faith. Yes, we're saved because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. All that's true about God, but what about us? Well, I'll tell you about us. We're saved to serve and not just sit. Nothing wrong with sitting a little. The Lord said you need to come away for a while. There's time to sit. There's time to vacation. There's time to for all those things. Somebody said if you don't come apart for a while, you'll come apart. Amen. So sometimes we need a little vacation. We need a little time to sit. But God just didn't save us to sit around. God saved us to serve. God saved us that we might be used of Him. I noticed here in chapter 2 that there is a warning. So I noticed verse 1. I'm going to read the whole verses here in a minute, but just notice verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Did you catch that? There's a warning note here. We need to take note here. There's a warning signal. There is a danger ahead sign that is given to us here in chapter 2. Years ago, there was a songwriter who wrote a song. His name was Roger Miller. And he wrote a song, I think it was back in November of 1964. It took him something like just a couple weeks to write it and get it honed down. And they actually released it in January of 1965. Now, yeah, how do you know all that? Are you a great Roger Miller fan? Well, I did like some of those folksy songs that he sang. But 1965, 5 months later, I walked across the stage and graduated from high school. So it was a time in my, you know, you remember things because things that happened in your life and so forth. And so Roger Miller wrote this song, and he talked about hopping a freight train headed for Bangor, Maine. And he said, old worn out clothes and old shoes, I don't pay no union dues. Old stogie, I smoke old stogies I have found. They're short, but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means. I'm the... See what kind of songs you guys listen. Every one of you knew that. I just throw those things out there to see where the congregation is at. And I got a lot of preaching to do. I can see that right now. That's an old song. We've all heard it. I don't know that there's anything particularly wrong with it or anything like that. But he did say that he was a man of means, by no means the king of the road. But what was he really talking about there, that particular person? It wasn't Roger Miller, but that's what he was singing about, a particular person. Well, what was that guy? Was he actually a king or a king of the road? Well, in reality, we know what he was. He was a tramp, right? He was a bum, some people would call him. Certainly, he was a drifter. He was just drifting along. Where was he going? To Bangor, Maine. You know there's a lot of things happening in Bangor, Maine, right? I can't think of anything. I'm not preaching against Bangor, Maine. It's just, why was he going to Bangor, Maine? He just that's where the train was going. He was just drifting with it. He was a drifter. And I'm afraid today that in Christianity, we have a lot of drifting going along. And God doesn't want us to drift along. God wants us to serve. God wants us to be used of Him for His honor and His glory. We're not to be drifters. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers together. I think he was saying, we haven't been saved just to sit around. We've been saved to serve. We are laborers together with God. You remember what Jesus said? Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But you have to realize there he's talking about service, isn't he? He's talking about getting into the yoke, about that labor. So God wants us to be laborers together with Him. You see, there's believers today that are in danger of drifting. We're in danger of drifting away from serving the Lord, just sitting around, just being the bystander, being the one that's sitting on the bench. I'm a college football fan. I'm not too big at watching professional NFL play and so forth. I do a little. I'm not preaching against that today. But I love college football. These are college guys out there playing ball. And I watch. My wife handed me the remote control. She knows it's my turn to take it. It's Saturday. And I'm going through 3 channels. Every time something happened, you know, I was doing channel 57, the Big Ten. I was watching channel 11, Michigan play in Florida. I was watching 301, ESPN 1. Who was it? Wisconsin, I think, planners. I was watching all these games, you know, trying to get each one of them, get the plays in and all that. You know, all that time I watched, I wasn't watching who was sitting on the bench. I was watching who was on the field, amen. Nothing wrong with sitting the bench. Sometimes you have to sit there and all that, but it's out there where the thing's getting done, where the battle's being played, won or win or lose or whatever. And we got to be careful that we don't drift. We can even drift away from our faith. I think that's what happened to Lot. Lot drifted away from his faith, the things that he knew, the things that he had learned, the things that he had seen in Abraham as his fallen Abraham. Why? Just drifting along. It's not just a problem of the past. It's certainly a problem of today as well. I'm afraid Christianity as a whole is moving or drifting away from that which is true. We're drifting away from moral purity. So many people today are living in the situational ethics of the present. And God doesn't want us to live there. You see, there is right and there is wrong. The Bible is black and white when it comes to that. You say, well, there's some red in there. Well, that's just telling you these are the words, so to speak, that Jesus himself spoke, humanly speaking. But basically, there is no gray area. You'll hear in churches that, well, there's a lot of gray area. We're not sure what that means. But just read what it says, because that's exactly what it means. All right? And so, but we're drifting away from moral purity, marital, I'm trying to get that out, marital commitment. You know, if it don't work, I'll just get out of it. And please, I know there's people here that's went through divorce. I'm sure you didn't want it when it happened, in the sense that you never got married if you knew that this was going to turn the way it did. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, and as a whole in Christianity, it's like we don't try anymore. We'll just let it go, just however it happened. Just drift along. It doesn't really matter. We are trying to rewrite the standards, and we're calling it rethinking. We don't need to rethink, and we don't need to rewrite like Lester Roloff, the old evangelist. We just need to reread it. Amen. Just find out what the Bible says, believe what God says, and live according to God's will and God's way. You see, the watchword is no longer, thus saith the Lord, the watchword, but let us reason together. You say, well, that's there in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 1, let us reason together. That is God saying, let us reason together, you and I. It's not us deciding what we think about anything. I'll tell you what, when you reason together with the Lord, it'll always come out, we'll do it God's way, because it's the right way. And so, the title of the message today is just drifting. We're drifting through neglect. We're not out there in the battle as we should be. We're not serving the Lord as we ought to. And when I say that, it's a general statement. I know there's some that do, and so forth. I'm just saying, in general, the Christian movement today and the church today is sort of drifting along, and God wants us to labor together with Him. He wants us to get in the yoke with Him. Drifting through neglect. There's a danger in neglect in every area of our life. Physically, have you looked around lately? And I got to be careful. I don't want to go too far with this because I'll get under conviction. But sometimes you look around and you go, wow, man. You know, yesterday there's a lady walk along. She didn't have anything I could see, braces on or anything. She just couldn't hardly walk. She had neglected physically her life to the place that she couldn't hardly walk. You know, weight-wise, that's what I'm trying to say. And again, I'm not trying to be mean or harsh about it. I'm just saying it's just terrible how this nation has allowed its physically, we're just drifting along. We don't pay attention to what's going on. And I'm as guilty as liking a blizzard when you buy one, you get one for 99 cents as anybody. But that has nothing to do with physical problems. It has to do with financially. I'm prudent. Do you believe that? Oh, I have to see if I can get that across. Seems to me like it hit a wall there. I think you're thinking, no, it's still physically bad. But anyway, physically and financially and yes, spiritually, so much of the world out there, of course, but certainly even in the church, we're just kind of drifting along through neglect. So I want us to look just 2 points today. We won't take long on either one of them. Of these 4 verses, drifting through neglect, let's read the verses you look on as I read Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, then how shall we escape? In other words, we know what happened to angels that went against God, who neglected what God had said. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also being bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, and with diverse miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will? That's a question mark there. Just like the angels were dealt with by God, we who know salvation in Jesus Christ, what's going to happen with us? How is God going to have to deal with us when it comes to these things? So first of all, we have a warning here in verse 1. Notice the word therefore. You know, if you've been around here for many years, I always state, you got, if there's a therefore, we need to find out what it's there for. Because therefore means something has been said before. I could say something like, you know, I'm going to go to Dairy Queen right after the service. I heard that you can get a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard. Not that that's my favorite. I just happened to point that one out. And I can get a second one for 99 cents. Therefore, I'm going to go to Dairy Queen. See, what was it there for? Because of what I just said. There's a 99 cent Blizzard waiting for my wife. I'll get the large one and she gets the, you know, the small. I don't. But anyway, there's a therefore. So what is it there for? It's because of what has been said previous over here in chapter 1. And if you look at let's go to verse 10. Of course, we could read the whole chapter, but we don't have time to do that. So let's look at verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the, notice the word there, the works of thine hands. See, God is working, and God expects us to do the same. And then in chapter 1 and verse 11 it says, they shall perish, but thou remainest, they shall wax old as doth a garment. He's talking about creation there in Hebrews 1 and verse 10. He said, God has created these things, verse 11, but they're going to perish one day, even though God remains, and they shall wax old as doth a garment, verse 12, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. Here, listen to this. Here's the truth. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to get older. He's here today, and he won't be there tomorrow. You don't have to worry about that. He said even creation one day, God's going to remake it. He's going to change it. He's going to fold it up like a garment. But God remaineth. God is still there. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he says in verse 13, but to which of the angels, said he at any time, set on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Well, he never said that. But verse 14, are they not all ministering saints? Notice, ministering saints. Listen, if God's the same yesterday and today and forever, and God is a God of work, that is, he's created, he's done those things, and angels are not sitting around at the right hand of the Father, they are what? Ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's a question mark. I didn't read it quite as that. In other words, do you know what that verse says? The angels are in heaven. What is their job? To minister to you. That's what it's saying right there. You have ministering angels. You are, as it says here, heirs of salvation, aren't you? Are you saved? Verse 2, or chapter 2, and verse, where's the verse out there? verse 3 is not talking about losing your salvation. Some people try to make it out that way. Because if you go back and read what the therefore is there for, you find out that angels are ministering to you who are heirs of salvation. All he's talking about here is God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's watching over you. God's going to take care of you. God is a God of works. His angels are ministering angels. And we need to look out lest we slip from that. Neglect in our service of the Lord. God saved you not to sit. God saved you to serve. God wants to use you. Somebody's all crippled up and they can't do anything. Oh, yes, they can. They can bow their head and close their eyes and pray for you that can get up and go. For us who can be out there and do something. God has a service for all of us. Aren't you glad that you're not a ditch digger? Do we need ditches dug? Absolutely. Aren't you glad somebody is willing to dig a ditch? Not all of us are preachers. That's kind of like digging ditches. Aren't you glad you don't have to get up here screaming and yelling? I'm glad you're out there listening. I think you are anyway. No. He's talking to us that are saved. Therefore, he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know what that is? Folks, that is backsliding. Anybody ever heard of that? You ever try to get up a little hill thing and then you just kind of slid back? You're trying to get further. You know what we do when we serve the Lord? We move out. We go further. And some of us, we get saved and we get to a certain place, and if we're not careful, we begin to neglect. We kind of take our hands off of serving the Lord. We've probably all seen people that were so busy in church doing all kinds of things, and the next thing you know, they step back. Well, I'll let somebody else do it, they'll say, or whatever. And time goes by, and the next thing you know, they're not around anymore. And you go talk with them. I don't know, just kind of lost interest. What do we do? We neglect. And when we neglect, we don't, folks, you don't go forward and stay there. Once you're at a certain place in life, if you don't keep going, what's the next thing you do? You go back. Right? You ever try to lose weight? Now, I've always been slim and trim. That I got a bigger laugh than that, huh? Somebody said, why do you wear a coat all the time? Just cover everything up. I mean, can you be on a diet and lose weight? And then after you lose that weight, so much weight, then you just kind of let it go? Start. That's what I usually do. That's why I slip back and slip out. You know? Why? You got, somebody says, well, you got to maintain it. Yes, you do. Everything in life. We can't go forward and just stop there. If we just stop there, we won't stop there. We'll gradually slide away. I've learned verses. And then, for some reason, I didn't use those verses for a while, and guess what? I can't remember them anymore. I know a preacher that he quotes the Bible all the time when he preaches, and he told me one time, he was here at the church one time, and he gets up and he goes out and he ran around the neighborhood. Been many years ago. And he said, well, what I do, Pastor, is I have some cards, and he said, these are new ones. But he said, I start going over my old thing. I keep reviewing. He says, if I don't, within 2 weeks' time, I won't remember. Now, it'll be easier for me to get them again. But he said, I will lose them if I don't keep doing it over and over and over again. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about in our service of the Lord. Don't neglect these things. What's happening to our church today? It's sliding away from the Lord. Why? Because we're neglecting what God tells us to do. We're not living our lives as God wants us to live. We are the heirs of salvation. Well, that means we have the inheritance of all the salvation experiences. Not only heaven. Some people think, I'm saved for heaven. Listen, you're not just saved for heaven. You're saved to serve the Lord before you get to heaven. If you're just saved for heaven, guess what God has done? Just took you to heaven. Why leave you down here? By the way, that would be a cruel thing for God to do. Save us just for heaven, but leave us down here to get beat up for 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 years. You said, then why did he leave us here? To get on the battlefield, so to speak. Get out there off the bench. Don't drift away from the Lord and the things of God. You were living for the principles and precepts of the world one day. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but then you accepted Christ as your Savior. Now you can live by the power of the Holy Spirit and live by the principles and precepts found in God's Word. Before you got saved, you couldn't do that. So don't neglect it. Learn it. Live by it. One was from death to destruction, but the other, when you got saved, is to life and, we could say, construction. Therefore, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to these things. Now, notice, first of all, he gives us that commandment, doesn't he? What he's saying here in verse 1, to pay closer attention to what is being taught us. You know, our problem is not the lack of exposure. We preach the Word. We have the Bible. We can hear it on TV. We can hear it on the internet. We can hear it on radio. We can hear it in the church. We preach the Bible. I actually outline scriptures and preach down through that outline and try to make it relevant today and so forth. Our problem is not lack of exposure, but not taking God seriously. This is not what I think. This is what God says. Are you serious when you come to church? I want to know what God says. I don't want to be one of those backsliders, ones that slip away. Our problem is not the need to get something new. Somebody says, well, I went to another church. I want to hear something new. You don't want to be here because I don't have any. Everything I'm going to tell you is at least 2,000 or more years old. Nothing new. Like the book of Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. Amen? So our problem is not the need to get something new, but we don't see the value in the old we have yet to apply. Anybody ever buy something and say, no, I bought this because I want to fix something at the house or fix something in the car. And you go back 6 months later and that thing's still laying there. You know what it is. You know what you need to do. The problem is applying what you have and what you know to do in getting the job done. We don't need anything new. Just take what we know and value it and apply it in our lives, and guess what happens? When we apply Christian truth in our life, it brings us forward. We grow. And if we don't, we slip back. So if we step forward and we learn that, guess what God does then? Now that we know this, we see something else, and we know what to do. You know, I found out in school, probably a little late, but I found out in school that when I learned something in school, it opened up my horizon to learn something else. I learned how that, you know, when I learned how to multiply, and yes, I'm in one of those schools where I had to stand up, the teacher said, Dennis, stand up beside your desk, and I'd stand up beside that, give me the timetable for, you know, give me a number, 2 or 3 or 4. I always hate it when they stood up, Dennis, give me the times tables for 12. 12 times 12 is Those little numbers wasn't too bad. You know, 2 times 2, I got that one. Give me the 2s, the 3s, the 4s. Don't give me the 11s and the 12s or stuff like that. But that you had to get up to that. You say, was that really needful? Well, I'll tell you what, I don't even have to think today. When you give me a number, I don't even think about it. Oh, it was terrible when they were doing that. They were doing it out of meanness, I'm sure. I don't understand why I had to go through all that stuff about the timetable and have to stand before the class and show them that I didn't know it. It was terrible. It was traumatic. But I know it. And I can still use it today. And guess what? It opened up more things about math. One time I was teaching a class and an eighth grader, having trouble with division. I'm thinking, man, you should have learned this in the fifth grade or fourth grade or something. Having trouble with division. You know what the problem was? He had no idea what 2 times 2 was. I'm simplifying, but you know what I'm saying? He didn't know his multiplication, therefore he couldn't divide. See what I'm saying is, when you learn something, it opens the horizon for something else as you learn it. And so we need to keep after that. So first of all, he gives us this warning, and he gives us this command to stay with it. You know, folks, you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but marriage can't be improved upon. Yeah, preacher, that's crazy. You can always be a better husband, a better wife. Not only this, but rearing children can't be improved upon. I wish I did a better job, preacher. Well, I'm not saying you. I'm saying it can't be improved upon. God tells us how to rear our children. God tells us what a husband ought to do. God tells us what a wife ought to do. Let me remind you, God tells us what a wife ought to do. Let me say it one more time. I got stuck there. Excuse me. All I'm saying, it can't be improved upon. It's in the book. What do I need to do? Don't try to figure out something new or what the psychologist says about training your children or what the marriage counselor says about something. Find out what God says and do it. We don't need new. We just need to do what we know to do with the old. The argument, verse 2 and 3, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression, disobedience received a just recompense or reward, then how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Angels brought the message, and it was to be carried out. By the way, he did not say here, how shall sinners escape if they reject? But it says here, how shall we, that is us believers, escape if we neglect? How are we going? What's going to happen here as we neglect? You see, we hear it, but we don't heed it. We don't reject it. We just neglect it. Oh, I believe the Bible about this, that, and the other. Then do it. Oh, I never thought about that. We hear it. We don't heed it. We don't reject it. We just simply neglect it. This is where spiritual deterioration begins. Listen to this. If I ask someone, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yes. Do you attend church? No. Do you read your Bible? No. Do you pray? No. Do you give? No. Do you serve? No. See, the problem is not rejection. It's neglection. Yes, we believe, but we don't do. Yes, we believe what the Bible says, we just don't read the Bible, therefore we don't know what actually the Bible says. We need to be careful. We need that confirmation. Notice verse 4. God also bearing them witness both of signs and wonders with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God confirmed his word. How did he do that? By signs, wonders, and miracles. By the way, it's not for our recreation. It was for his confirmation. This is what I say. Listen to what I have to say. The problem is, this is what he says. There's too many today not listening to what he says. We are rejecting by neglection. We're not rejecting it, saying it's not the Bible. We're just neglecting it. The word neglect in verse 3 means to make light of. Look at verse 3 again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have it. We're just neglecting it. It means don't treat it lightly. Now let me give you an application to close real quick. First of all, absorbing what we have heard. It's more beneficial than seeking something new. So many times in life, we're always looking out for something new and we're not taking care of what we already have. What God has blessed us with and given to us. Like the preacher that preached John 3:16 for 3 Sundays in a row. Deacons got together, came to the preacher and said, "Preacher, you've preached the same message, John 3:16." And I'm not saying that you preach from the same passage of Scripture. I'm saying I take notes and you use the exact same outline and said the exact same thing for 3 Sundays in a row. What do you have to say for yourself? He said, "When you get that right, then I'll move on to the next topic." Absorbing what we have heard is more beneficial than seeking something new. Overcoming. Overcoming is drifting. Overcoming drifting requires discipline of application. 3 ways to suffer drifting, my neglect. What are they, preacher? Here they are. I'm glad you asked. When under pressure, we rely on our instincts rather than upon God's word. What does God say about it? By the way, you have to know what God says about it to rely upon it. Number 2, when making a decision, value human ingenuity and opinion more than God's truth. Boy, that sounds good. It might sound good, but if it's against God's word, you're neglecting what God has to say and you're not applying it to the situation. Number 3, when faced with a choice, we opt for what is comfortable, though wrong, instead of what is painful, the right. Always do what God says to do. Do right. Don't neglect it. Then there's obeying. You need to obey what God says. Obeying is better than even than sacrifice, God said. And then neglecting, not to neglect that which God requires. Not to neglect that which God requires. What does a doctor tell you about taking an antibiotic? You go to the doctor, you're all stuffed up, you feel terrible, and so forth, and he says, "We're going to give you a shot, and then we're going to give you a prescription for an antibiotic, and just take the antibiotic until you start feeling better." Is that what he says? Or she says? How long are you supposed to take it? Until it's all gone, right? Keep taking it until it's gone. That is true for serving the Lord. We're not to neglect that which God required. How long do I have to do it? As long as you live. Do what God says to do. What's that, preacher? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as manner of some is. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Pray without ceasing. By the way, these are verses. Don't forsake the church, Hebrews 10:25. Study the word, 2 Timothy 2:15. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, Malachi 3:10. Love your neighbor as yourself, Mark 12:31. And on we can go. Proverbs 16:25 says this, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Don't be like a ship that drifts right past the harbor and into danger. In the last 2 months, I think, or since June anyway, I believe it was, the last 3 months, 2 warships have crashed. It's unbelievable. It's one thing to have one, but 2. The USS Fitzgerald hit a container ship, and the USS McCain hit an oil tanker. Right now, we have 2 destroyers out of commission, and we got North Korea breathing down our necks with a H-bomb. Somebody said 5 times stronger than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You say, what's the excuse? There is no excuse. What happened? Neglect on somebody's part. It is dangerous to neglect. Christian, it's just as dangerous for you and me. You know what it calls? It calls a shipwreck in our Christian walk. Not only that, but it causes the light to shine less in this dark world in which we live. Let's decide today that we are going to labor together with God. Let's decide that we're going to take on that yoke that the Lord talked about and learn of Him. He's meek and lowly. He will get in that yoke with you. You will not walk alone, for we are laborers together with God. Do not neglect the salvation that God has given to you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around this morning. Old worn out suit and shoes. Don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I've found, short but not too big around. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. You know what he's saying? He's a man of means? No, by no means. He doesn't have the means. I'm afraid that maybe that's true in our Christian walk. Now, we're not all slidden back and out of church because you're here today. But every one of us need to be warned. The red lights are flashing this morning. Don't drift by neglect. Don't just drift along like the man in the boat that was drifting along the Niagara River and thought how wonderful and peaceful it is till he heard the roaring in the distance. And before he could help himself, it was too late. He went over Niagara Falls to his death. Don't neglect my drifting. You decide, Lord, here am I. What will you have me to do? That don't mean everybody's called to preach. Everybody's called to be a missionary. Everybody's called to teach a Sunday school class. But Lord, here am I. What will you have me to do? I'm willing. I'm on the sideline, so to speak, but I'm willing to go in. I'm dressed up and fitted. I'll serve you. If you can't use me right now in the active, I will pray for you. I'll pray about the work of God. I'll pray for those that are teaching the class. I will be a part, actively involved. I do not want to neglect and drift away from my God. Now, Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of your people here today. Thank you for them. Thank you, Lord, that they're willing to get out and come to Sunday school and to church to gather around God's Word and be challenged, that they are more than just listening, they are apprehending and taking hold of these truths. And Lord, today I pray that maybe that be true in our hearts and lives. May today we be challenged. Therefore, he says, don't slip away. Our Lord, there may have been a time in our life when we wouldn't think about maybe missing church, but now we do. Maybe there's a time in our life we made sure that we give, we tithe, we gave our offering, we supported the mission, so forth, but maybe we slipped. We have our excuses and a reason why. Sometimes as we're getting older, as I am, sometimes we try to use our age. Lord, don't let us use excuses. Now, maybe because of situation in our life, we can't do those things that we once did, but we can still do. God, what will you have us to do? So Lord, speak to our hearts today. Let us respond to what God has said to each one of us individually. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.